as we've shown in and I've drawn in terms of underlying assumptions that we find within the suit. So with that introduction, where the start is on towards the line of Lamakas in the day, is Amar Abaye, Bo Aleha, we're dealing with the Onesu Mefateh, and we have the situation of a Na'ara Hapasula, who undergoes attack from without, and theoretically there is a chiyuv of knas v'nesa, but the girl dies, this nara dies before they have a chance to have a hamada bedin, then patur, then technically the individual is off the hook. In terms of monetary payments, there's still issues that he has with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, but in terms of monetary payments, he's off the hook, even though the father is still alive. And the father is the one who is the recipient of the knas, of the Nahara. B'cholzo chenemar v'nasam la'avi ha-Nahara. They were talking about the father of a Nahara who is alive. V'lo la'avi mesa. We have Xeris HaKasuf, that in this situation, even though the father is the recipient, since he's no longer a father of a living Nahara, then the Torah excludes him from receiving the Knas. That's Abaye's understanding of the Pasuk. Milsa de pshitale la Abaye. This is shot in the Pasuk. Megboyele la Rava. That Abaye's compatriot, Rava, he was not certain that this is the halacha. Now the Gemara is going to bring an Abaye of Rava, but only on Daf Lamed Tes Lamed Aleph are we going to see how this Ma'amar of Rava relates to the din of Abaye. Miboy the Rava, the boy Rava, Yesh Beger Bekever O Ein Beger Bekever. Rava seems to be asking a very, very fascinating question on the surface in terms of the concept of Bagrut. We know that we have a woman who is a ketana until the age of 12. And when she's at the age of 12 and she has been mevi'ah simanim, then we have a period of 6 months that pass and she becomes a bogeret. And in terms of the world of knas, as long as she is a na'ara, she's been ureha be'savia, the father receives the knas. The moment that she's a bogeret, then she leaves her father's rishus and she gets the knas on her own. Here we're dealing with a woman who's bakever. She died. She died at the age of 12, at the age of 12 and 2 months, the age of 12 and 5 months. She died during the period of Na'arut. And the clock outside of the kever is still ticking. And the question is, does she become a bogeret even though she's no longer in this world? How would you formulate this chakira? What over here is the question in terms of the nature of bagrut? Can you have a bogeret even if a woman is not alive? How would you understand what does the status of bagrut mean if we say yesh beger bekever? What would the status of bagrut mean if we would say ein beger bekever? What underlies this question of Rava? Yes?
Perhaps bagrut might be like a time period the father has to make good on his claims, in which case it would still happen after.
Right. And what's doing define bagrut objectively? That the moment that a woman becomes a na'ara, then we simply have this 6 month period of time where she remains in this quasi status of moving from becoming a tana to a bogeret. And my nafkamina, whether she's alive or she's not alive, yitachayin, that the 6 months are passing, and then if the 6 months pass before the hamada bedin, we view her currently as a bogeret. Or what's the other option? Not a question of objective time, but what normally happens during these 6 months post na'arut? She matures physically, physiologically, more. Maybe there's a concept of na'ara is a girl who has reached point A of maturity, and then 6 months later she reaches point B of maturity. Everything now, in terms of her physiology, is moving more towards womanhood. And that is possible when she's alive. But when she's dead, there is no physiology to speak about which is growing. There's no maturation. There's no physical process. So if we view bagrut as a physical stage, we're dealing with na'arut is like the beginning of maturity and puberty. And then 6 months later, she reaches a more fuller puberty. That would only be during her lifetime. Ein bagrut bekever. But if we say no, she's already halachically mature at the age of 12. Just that we have this 6 month of a transition from being a katana to being a full vulgaret, that 6 months yitachen can occur even if she is no longer in this world. Okay? That's Rava's suffering. Now the question is, my nafkamina, who cares? She's dead, right? My nafkamina, whether we say that she becomes a bogeret or she doesn't become a bogeret. So here, l'chaora, if time stopped, namely if we say, ein beger bekever, and the hamada bedin takes place, so then the father, l'chaora, according to Rava, would stand in hamada bedin and claim that my daughter, when she was a nara a number of months ago, she was raped, she was seduced, right, and a knas is coming to me because she's still the na'ara. If we say yesh beger bekever, then who would stand in the court? Who would be the baal davar? Or is she, right? But, I mean, she's dead, so she can't. So then we have a concept of Yerusha. Who is her closest Yoresh? L'chora, her father. So my nafkamina, if yesh beger bekever, ein beger bekever. It's the same person. My nafkamina, if the father is there because he is the father, because ein beger bekever, or because he's the Yoresh. So the Gemara says over here, Gemara continues, do we say, boy Rava, yesh beger bekever, o ein beger bekever, yesh beger bekever, let's introduce another party into the equation. Maybe she has a son. And if she has a son, then the son is a closer Yorish than a father. We know that there's a world of Nachala, and there is a whole order. And the closest relative is a child. If there is no child in the picture, then we go back to the father. If there are no father, then we move sideways to brothers, right, etc. So we have. So let's introduce a son. If then we have a son, so if yesh beger bekever, it means that really the daughter should be standing, the nahara should be standing, because in the hamada b'din, because now she's a bogeret, and a bogeret is independent. She already has left her father's rishus, and if she's not around, her son will be the recipient of the knas. If ein beger bekever, she remains a nahara. The father remains the baal davar, and he is the one who will be the recipient of the knas. That was Rava's question at this point in the Gemara. Who will get the knas of this girl who's currently dead? She died as a nahara. The hamada bedin takes place when she would have been a bogeret had she still been alive. So do we say that process of 6 months continued, and therefore the son is going to get the knas, or do we say, no, it was cut off, it only applies to a living person, the concept of Bavrut, she remains halachically a na'ara, and the father is going to get the knas. That appears to be the question. The only problem with this beautiful approach is a technical problem, namely, she can't have a child. We can't bring a child into the picture, because Umiba Abra, she couldn't become pregnant. That L'chora, we have over here a question, when would she have had a child? Before the age of 11, a woman can't become pregnant because she's not mature. Between 11 and 12, she theoretically can become pregnant, but what issue exists? It will kill her. She could become pregnant, but it will kill her. So we're not going to have a child at that time because she just would not survive. We're going to come back to this Gemara. There's a very, very, so to speak, basic machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos over here in terms of the meshamshos and what is the moch. Ve'elu hein ketana mu'uberetu minika, ketana shema titader v'tamut, and that's our fear over here. Mububeret as a side point, Shemata Serubara Sadal Augustus, Ninika Shematik Rohatina. But what we're concerned about is the Kitana. Ezo hi Kitana, Mibas Achasis Reshana Viomecha, Rachdemis Reshana Viomecha, because before the age of 11, Pachos Mikan, the Yester Mikan, the Shamesh is Kedarka, Vaholechas Nibir of Meir. Before 11, she's not going to become pregnant. So there's no problem of her having relations without the birth control. After the age of 12, she can become pregnant and have a child. So it's also not a problem. But during that year between 11 and 12, we have an imminent danger. Okay, we're going to discuss this. This is a topic of discussion, but currently it's an aside of the Gemara. So our question is, so when did she have this son? It couldn't be before she was the age of 11. It couldn't be between 11 and 12. V'chi teima di'avra kishihi na'ara v'olda kishihi na'ara u'b'shisa yarche mika yalda. But if we say, okay, she became pregnant at a time where it wouldn't be dangerous, then we post the age of 12, but we need that she had a son before she died. She died as a na'ara. I mean, she died before 12 and 6 months. How can you become pregnant and have a son within 6 months? Pregnancy is 9 months, minimally 7 months, and over here we only have 6 months. Maybe we would have a half, says the Gemara, that Bagrus is a sliding scale. It's minimally 6 months. Like we spoke about the fact that during Bagrut, the woman physiologically matures. So maybe the minimum is 6 months. Maybe we can have a process of 8 months of Bagrut, of 10 months of Bagrut. The Gemara knocks that off. Why? Because Ella Ka'amar. Shmuel said, Amen, Narut Bagrut, Ella Shisha Chadashim. Ella means no less. And Ella means no more. Whether we're dealing, as we pointed out earlier, with a period of time or a period of physiology, but we have a set standard of 6 months. So how then, what do we do? The only way we were able to understand Rava is by introducing a son. Without the son, the father's in the picture according to both sides. If Ein Degya Bekever, the father's in the picture as the father of the Nara. If Yesh Degya Bekever, okay, she's a Bulgaria, but the father is her closest inheritor. So Echshaloyeh, he's standing and receiving the Knas. So the Gemara says, Elohachib Kami Boele. This was Rava's question. Yesh Degya Bekever Upaka'av. Odilma Ein Degya Bekever Velo Paka'av. Namely, on the side of Ein Beger Bekever, we remain with the same scenario, that the father remains the father of the Nahara, she remains a Nahara halachikli, and the father stands there at Hamadah Bedin to collect the knas. But maybe Yesh Beger Bekever, maybe the ticking clock turned her into a Vogeret, she already is no longer in the father's Rishus, and then who stands at Hamadah Bedin? Maybe no one. Maybe no one stands. Paka'av. The father is removed, and no one takes the place of the daughter. There's no son, and the father also is knocked off. Why is the father knocked off? Isn't he a Yoresh? Don't we have a did that if there's no son, the father is a Yoresh? So what is our Gemara Omir assuming? The Yerusha, in some separate reason, in our sugya, does not apply. Why would Yerusha not apply? Doesn't Yerusha apply to all monetary debts that are owed to an individual? That the Yoresh, in other words, if someone owed my father money and he dies, so now he owes me the money. Isn't that the din of Yerusha? Why would Yerusha not apply to the world of Knas? That perhaps, Ein Ado Morish Knas Ladonov, that there's nothing to be Morish. Maybe the Knas is only, as we pointed out, created by Hamad of the din. Until then, it's simply a potential. It's something that can exist, but it doesn't actually exist. Maybe in order to have Yerusha, you need a mamon on the table. You need that there actually be an existing debt, not just a potential debt. So over here, the Gemara is saying, maybe we're dealing over here, since we're dealing over here in the world of Knas, maybe there is no Yerusha. That's the way Rashi over here explains. Paka'av. Paka tviyas av, v'zocha halabim asha biyada. Namely, by default, the father is knocked out of the picture, and we have over here a pitur on the part of the person who perpetrated the crime. She'ein ba'al dino kayim, because the bottom line is no one to take him to court. Uknas lafmamon hu lohorisha lavia b'toras yirusha kol kama delo gavte. Then maybe over here we're going to view the knas as that which does not allow the regular laws of Yerusha to govern it. Or do we say, ein bigger bekever? Okay, we don't actually go over here. The daughter remains a Nara, and the father is the father of the Nara, the same way that he was in her lifetime, so also he is in her death. That's the question of Rava, according to this Maskana of the Gemara. However, Mar Bar Ravashi had a different understanding of Rava. So far, we don't have any connection between Rava and Abaye, right? The Gemara at the beginning of the Sugya said that that which is pashut to Abaye is an Abaye to Rava. So far, Rava is not talking about the case of Abaye. Abaye simply dealt when you have a daughter who passed away, then the father is not eligible to receive the knas. That's not, so far, what we're dealing with in the world of Rava. What we're dealing with in the world of Rava is when a Naira passes away and enough time passes before the Hamad of Adin for her to have become a Bogeret, do we say that that process of Bagrut continues? And then, according to the first Lashon, her son would be Yoresh. According to the second Lashon, no one will be Yoresh. Or do we say the process doesn't continue and then, according to both Lashonos, the father is Yoresh? That has nothing to do with Abaye. Abaye is dealing with a situation where the Na'ara passed away and the Havad of Adin is the following day. Alright? In other words, it's still within the Tkufa of Na'arus. So here, Mar Bar Ravashi says, no, you got Rava Oror. Mar Bar Ravashi Boye Lehachi. What Rava's question was, Yesh Beger Bekever, O Ein Beger Bekever, is Misa Ose Bagrut, O Ein Ose Bagrut. Not is there a clock ticking, and we say, oh, she passed away at the age of 12 years and 2 months. 4 months later, does she become a Bogeret? That's not Rava's question. Rava's question is when she passes away at 12 years and 2 months, maybe then she becomes a Bogeret. Because what is Bagrut? Bagrut is one of the means of a woman becoming independent. A woman can become independent if her father dies. A woman can become independent and receive the knas if she goes through the period of Bagrut. Maybe death is also a form of independence. We know that after death, there are no chiyuv mitzvahs. We're now independent from Omal Lushamayim. Maybe death also takes us out of the realm of a family, that the father is no longer in the picture after the death of the daughter. And the death per se. No ticking clock. Simply, maybe death is the equivalent of Bagrut. Misa Oseh Bagrut, O Ein Oseh Bagrut. If we say Misa Oseh Bagrut, then the moment that she dies, who gets the Knas? L'chora, Misa Oseh Bagrut. She should get the Knas, but she's dead. So who gets the Knas? No one. No one gets the Knas. What about Yerusha? No, we just pointed out that in the world of Yerusha, ain't of the Morish Knas Labanah. Yerusha is a theoretic, Yerusha only applies to real money, to Mamma, doesn't apply to Knas. Knas doesn't yet exist. You can't be Morish something that doesn't exist. It's a Dorsha Bala. Or do we say, ain't Misa Ose Bagrut? Namely, that she remains her father's daughter even after death. And so the father can go now to the court as the Hamad of Adin. So that which was pashut to Abaye, which of these two sides is pashut to Abaye? That when the daughter dies, no one collects, or the father collects? What was pashut to Abaye? No one collects. So that which was pashut to Abaye is a suffix in Rava. If we say Yesh Beger Bekever, then Rava agrees. Not Yesh Beger Bekever. If we say Misa Ose Bagrus, then Rava agrees with Abaye. If a Misa Ose Bagrus, then Rava disagrees with Abaye. So Rava is Mesupa. And Teiku, we're not certain what the bottom line of the Halacha is according to Rava. Right? Abaye was clear that we have Xeras HaKlasuf. Within Rava, according to Marva Ravashi, we have a suffix if Abaye's Xeras HaKlasuf holds water or not. That's the entire sugya. Then the Gemara moves over to something else. What I pointed out, that this sugya serves as the backdrop of a large Machlokas Rishonim, is the underlying assumptions behind our sugya. That we have a issue, Ha'im Adam Marish Nas Libana. We know that there's a concept of Yerusha by Mama. Does this concept of Yerusha also apply to the world of Knas? So here, when we look at the Gemara on Daf Lamed Ches Amid Beis and Lamed Ches Amid Aleph, we come up with different conclusions. What did the Gemara on Daf Lamed Ches Amid Beis assume as a Davar Pashut? That there is a concept of Yerusha by Knas, or there's no concept of Yerusha by Knas?
There is.
That there is. The Gemara said, assume that were this girl to have a son, then the son would be Yorish the Knas. Lamed Ches Amid Beis is Adam Morish Knas Lebana. Takes that as a Davar Pashut. The Gemara simply rejected that option because she can't have a son. Purely technical issue. But had she had a son, the son would be the Yorish. Comes on Gemara and Daf Lamed Ches Amid Aleph and says that, no, Paka'av, Ein Adam Morish Knas Lebana. Namely, we have it internal stira or machlokes, whatever you want to call it, within the sugya, without the sugya really spelling it out. In other words, the Gemara on Daf Lamed Ches Amid Aleph assumed the hanacha, the assumption of the Gemara on Daf Lamed Ches Amid Beis was Adam Morish Knas Lebana. The assumption of the Gemara on Daf Lamed Ches Amid Aleph is Ein Adam Morish Knas Lebana. Okay, that's it's an interesting nekuda. But the point that is brought up by the Rishonim is that this is just the tip of the iceberg. If we're just learning Suvas, it appears, oh, the Gemara appeared to have one Havamina. Gemara moves over to a different Hanacha, to a different assumption. However, that's why I sent you to Tosfos in Baba Kama, because Tosfos in Baba Kama really gives us the broader picture. So I gave you pages. Hopefully there everyone has a page. There's somewhere. Excellent. If anyone doesn't have there, by Yosef in the back. Okay, so on one side you have the Tosis and Baba Kama. On the other side you have the Rambams and Reb Chaim that we will Yirtosh Hashem move to. Okay? So Tosis and Baba Kama points out, he says, it only gets to our sugya all the way at the end of Tosfos, right? Where you have the little star towards the end of Tosfos, and you have the parentheses, only then does he get to our sugya. Up to then, he points out that the two main sugyas are in Baba Kama on Daf Ayin Beis, and in Suvas on Daf Mem Beis. So let's just give the background. Baba Kama Daf Ayin Beis is talking about the knas of Dalet Vehei. That we know that any ganav pays kefel. If we already dealt with this, if we have a ganav who steals a shor or a seh, and post-Gineva, he is Toveach or Mocher, then we have a din of a Knas, which is Arba or Chamesh, depending if we're dealing with the Shor, or whether we're dealing with the Seh. And then Maruba tries to find a rationale for why we would extend the Knas to such a degree, and why we would distinguish between a Shor and between a Seh. That's not our in. That's a few blot later of the Ayin test. The sugya over here begins with an issue: is this knas specifically for an entire animal, or can this knas be broken down? I mean, let's say that Alex and I own together a shor. We're shutzim in a shor, and I steal the shor, right? And I'm toveach the shor, and half of that shor belongs to Alex, right? So I clearly give him a kefel on his half, but in terms of dalet vehei, we have a question: is there such a thing as half of Dalet Vehei? Because half of the shor was mine, right? Half was his. So is there a half? What's the issue? And it's so clear to the Gemara that kefel can be divided. Why shouldn't Dalet Vehei be able to be divided? Because kefel applies to anything which is stolen, but Dalet Vehei only applies to an organic animal. An animal is a whole. Maybe a half an animal is not an animal. And so maybe the whole din of Dalet Beh only applies to Hola. That's a question in the Gemara. The Gemara fascinated and said, brings in, who was Rav Sheshes, someone, Rav Sheshes, Rav Nachman, who had one opinion one day and then changed his opinion the next day and explains because he ate this for the Torah. Okay, that's the question, did he actually eat ox meat? Or did it mean that I chewed through the sugya so well that I understand the difference now between what I thought and what I was thinking? Okay, that's one issue, but that's not what we're talking about currently. What we're dealing with in the Ayin Beis is that we have two Mishnayos. There's a Mishnah in Baba Kama on Daf Ayin Amad Aleph, and there's another Mishnah on Daf Ayin Dalet Amad Beis that have cases that are almost similar or almost identical with one switch. That we have a case of Ganav Mishel Aviv, the Tavach Umachar, V'achar Kach Meis Aviv. And then we have a case of Ganav Mishel Aviv, Umeis Aviv, V'tavach Umachar. Namely, that a person steals a cow of his father's, and he is Toveach or sells the cow, and then his father dies, or he steals the cow, the father dies, and then he is Toveach Umachar. So in the first case, we say that he pays Kefel and Dalet Beh. And in the second case, we say he pays Kefel the Eino Mishale Dalet Beh. There's a difference between these two situations. So the Gemara was bothered, why is there a difference in these two situations? The only difference is when the father died. But in terms of the act, it's the exact same act. And so the Gemara explains that in the first case, he stole something belonging to his father. He was toveach and mocher, that which belonged to the father. Then the father died. And now the question is, in terms of the dalet vehei, so we say that he owes dalet vehei to his brothers. Masha'en came in the second case, after he stole it, the father died. Namely, at the point when it was stolen, now part of it belonged to him and part to his brothers. At this point, he was already Yorish. And then he was Toveach Umocher. So the Tvicha was not done Kulo V'Yisura. The Tvicha was not on an animal that was totally not his. In the earlier case, in Nereisha, the Tvicha was on an animal that belonged to his father. His father's animal was not his animal. In other words, this is like Lot and Avram, right? That Lot told his shepherds, you can go ahead and eat now because I'm going to someday be Yoresh Avram, so that now that you can't do that. Currently, this is not yet yours. So here, the animal still belongs to the father. So now, he's Chayav Dalet Beh. When the father dies, now he's Chayav Dalet Beh to the Yorshim. Mashenkin, in the second case, when the father died, now this animal partly belongs to him. So when he's Toveach, part of his Tvicha is Beheter. Part Beheter, part Beisur. On that, there is no Dalet Beh. You need Tvacha Kulo Beisur. But the underlying assumption of this whole Gemara, both of the Reisha and of the Seifa, is Adam Morish Knas Labana or Ein Adam Morish Knas Labana. What's the underlying assumption? That a Knas lends itself to Yerusha or doesn't lend itself to Yerusha? Kefil is a Knas. Dalet Beh is a Knas. Does it? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes, the underlying assumption of this Gemara is that Adam Morish Knas Libana. There's no Hamada Bedin in this whole case. The Hamada Bedin is only going to be afterwards. When there be a Hamada Bedin, then he's over here going to have to pay Dalet Vehei to his brothers because Adam Morish Knas Libana. The Dalet Vehei that was owed to the father is now going to go to the brothers. In the second case, there's no Dalet Beh, but there's Kefil. The Kefil is going to go to the brothers. That which is owed to the father goes to the Yorshim. That's the underlying assumption of this Gemara. The Morish Knas Labana. However, there is another Gemara as well. We'll put that Gemara over here. Okay? And that's the beginning of the next Perek. the beginning of the fourth parak of Ksuvos, that deals with the father dying and the daughter. The father dying before Hamad Abedin, after Hamad Abedin, and the Gemara brings in the concept of Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph. We can look at it now. We can open up our Gemara. Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph. Look at the three lines from the bottom. We have a pasuk in Vayikra Perakei, that's not too long ago, Shabbos. The Kichesh Ba'am Yisrael, the Kipada, or the Tzunas Yad, or the Yezel, or Ashakes Amiso, or Matza Aveda, the Kichesh Ba'am, the Nishba Al Sheke. We have a parsha at the end of Parshas Vayikra, which is called the parsha of Shmuas HaPikadon, or maybe the parsha of Asham Gzelos, namely, that if there is a debt which is owed, and there is a denial of the debt, the kichesh ba'amiso, I don't, in other words, that you come to me, where's the pen I lent you yesterday? I say, what pen? Right? Where's the money I lent you? What money? Where's the wages that you owe me? What wages? What work? Etc. Kichesh ba'amiso. Not only kichesh, but nishba. In other words, that the person swears, I don't owe you the money. And then, hoda, and then he admits, I was under pressure, I didn't have the money, and I didn't know what to do, and so I denied, and I swore, in order to get atonement, there has to be Karen, Chomesh, and Asham, right? In other words, he has to return the money, and 20%, and, or 25%, and then to bring a korban asham. That's called an asham gezelot. Okay, that's the parasha. So the Gemara says, "Ma elu miyuchadim shehin mamon af kol shehu mamon yatzu elu shehin knas." That this is only in a situation where mamon is denied. But let's say a knas was denied. I say, where's the animal that you stole? And you say, what animal? And then you deny that you owe the kefil. So on the kefil, on that, there would be no Karen, Chomesh, and Asham. On the level of the kefil, on the level of knas, there would be no korban shuwa. It's not similar to these cases. All these cases are mamon, as opposed to knas. So Gemara asks, my love, Bisho Amad, Bidin. I was talking about a case where there was a Hamada Bidin on the Knas. The Gemara says, no, Bishalo Amad Bidin. No, we're talking about a case where the Knas was still in the theory. The Knas, there still had not been a Hamada Bidin. Then there is no Korban Shvuah. And then the Gemara later on says that same tour that we have from Korban Shvuah also applies to the world of Yerusha Lebanav. That's impossible. And the Gemara says, no, really, we're going to have an equation between Lahorish Lebanov and Korban Shvua. But in the world of Ones Mafata, there we're going to have a unique tour according to Rabbi Shimon. According to Rabbi Shimon, onesu mafata, it's not enough simply to have a theoretical knas, it's not enough even to have hamada bedin. We need a case of gviya. It actually has to be collected by the father. But the underlying assumption of the sugya over here on Membeis of Mendeis is that in the world of korban shvua and in the world of lahorisho lebanav, we say that neither of these apply to knas. Namely, that there is ain other morish knas lebana. There's no korban shvua on a knas, and there's no yerusha on a knas. As opposed to the sugya of a kama. So we have two entire sugyas and shas that are working with opposite assumptions. What do we do with such a situation? So here, if you have the tosos of Baba Kama, just look together with me. Sefer lo kriyim et vachol kol isira mashba lo kepo machayev afal gavda lo amad bedin afilu dalavei machayev. Had it not been for the technical issue of tvachol kol isira, then there would be kefel and dalavei that would be paid to the yorshim. The hiksha hariva, go down to where we have the parentheses, one line above the parentheses, the Bereish Narashim is Katata, Amrina Ki Kamrina Mamona Havi Lusha Bona Pishar Knossos, Vahasan Pirish Mishum Shah Amad Bedin. When does Knas lend itself to the world of Yerusha? Only after Hamad Bedin, when it turns into a Chi of Mamon. Avaloma Bedin, Mashma Kulash Maisa Deloma Tzimorish. So we have over here a stira, that the sugya in Baba Kama is mashma that pre Hamad Bedin Adam Morish Knas Lebanav, and the sugya and the Memdeis in Ksuba says only post Hamad Bedin, when the Knas becomes actualized by Bezdin, becomes Mamon, only then can you be Morishit. But before that, it's just something in the air. You can't be Morishit. What do we do with this stira? So the Tosfos gives the most obvious answer. The Yishlomar, the Rava of Rav Nachman, the Hacha, less lehusugya, the Hasam, the Sfirulei, the Yachol Lahorish, Bishayar Kinasot, Achal Gavshalo, Amad Bedin. In other words, that we have a stira between the sugyas. We have Machokas Amoroi. We have a Machokas Amoroi. We have Rava and Rav Nachman in Baba Kama hold Adam Morish Knas Lebanav, and we have Rava and Abaye in Adaf Membeis Amad Beis who hold in Adam Morish Knas Lebanav. This is not the end of the world. If you recall, we discussed such a machlokes in terms of the nature of Knas at the very beginning of the year. What issue do we deal with at the beginning of the year? Where we had a question in terms of the nature of Knas. Mechila, right? Can the Naira be Mochilat? Is, in other words, you can be Mochil Mamon, can you Mochil Knas? And what was our issue? Our issue is at what point the Knas turns into Mamon. Do we say, like we saw a rush, that the Knas is really Mamon from the time of the act, just that it's not actionable? You can't be Kofa. But there's still a Chiyavot, there's a din of Tfisa, that was the Shita of the Rush. And who disagreed with the Rush? We have Tosfos, the Russian Tosfos are Rush, as opposed to our Tosfos, on the Daf, who held no, that until Hamad Bedin, there's nothing there. There's nothing in the air. You can't be Mochel on nothing, you have to be Mochel on something. So that, you know, with the Machlokes, between Tosfos are Rush, and Tosfos, at that time we saw the Yerushalmi has two Deos. So here, according to the first approach of Tosfos in Baba Kama, these two deos are also the same nafkamina. If we view Knas as really existing from the time of the Maiseh, like the Rush, so Adam Morish Knas Labada. If we say now that the Knas is simply potential until Ha'amad Bedin, then ain't Adam Morish Knas Labada. Okay, so it's not the end of the world to say we have a Machlokes Amoroi. However, then Tosfos goes on to two other opinions, and that's what we're going to be dealing with now for a period of time. Let's just take Rabben Arsh. I grew up in a world of black and white. You know, we used to have a blackboard and write with white chalk. But once we have colors already, so in the 21st century, okay? So we have two other shitos in Tosfos. We have the Ri, and we have the Ri Halavan. Okay? If we continue in Tosfos to the second wide line of Tosfos, va'od nira l'ri, the Rabba Rav Nachman de Hacha, lo pli he asugya de Rabba v'abayu perek nara. Nothing doing, no machlokas. So let's just summarize the Ri in one word. Kule alma, everyone agrees that ein adam morish knas lebanav. There's no machlokes amoroyim. The whole shas agrees ein adam morish knas labanav. That's going to be approach of the Ri. Namely, which sugya is the main sugya? In Ksuba Staf Membeis. We're going to have to explain the sugya of a kam. And the Ri Halavan is going to say, kulayama, know that you can figure it out, adam morish knas labanav. And then we're going to have to explain the sugya in Ksuba Staf Membeis. Okay? And after all of that, we'll come back to our sugya. Okay? That's where we're heading now. Namely, we have within Tosfos three approaches. We have the anonymous approach. We have Machokes Amoroi. Elu ve'elu. We have those who hold on a Morish Knas, those who hold in on a Morish Knas. We have the Ri who's going to say that everyone agrees that ain't on a Morish Knas. And the Rav Lavan who says, no, everyone agrees, Adam, Morish Knas. The Re is going to have to re-explain the Gemara in Bava Kama, and the Re Halavan is going to have to explain the Gemara in Ksuvas. Okay, that's the whole Kibin Kabudo. And then we'll come back to our Sugya. So far, so good? Okay. So let's look at the Re. The Onir of the Re. The Rabba of Rav Nachman, the Hocha, go plige Yasugya, the Rabba of Abai, the Perakanagra. The Mayri Hocha, Kula Masnisen. V'sha'amad v'din v'amru lei chayav atol itein lo dekai gavna adam morish knas lebanav keivan da'amar chayav atol itein lo. What the Re over here is doing is pointing out that the world we'll come back to our sugya. The time being, we're dealing with the sugya in Bava Kama, and we're dealing with the sugya in Ksuvas, Adaf Mem Beis and Mem Beis. So what the Re is doing is he's pointing out that the world of Ha'amada Bedin has two stages. That one comes to court, when each side comes up with their arguments, and then the court comes in two stages. Parallel to what you find in a secular court, where first they're going to say that so-and-so is guilty, and then they're going to come back and they're going to explain how many years he's going to sit in prison or what kind of fine he's going to pay. It goes in two stages. So the first stage in halacha is called chayav ata litein lo. Now we are expressing the chiyuv. We're expressing the fact that we have over here a guilty party who is going to have to pay. And the second stage of Beis Din is say tein lo. Go out now and give it to him. Chayav atali tein lo, we have yitziras hachiyuv. We have the creation of the debt. Say tein lo, we have over here the gviya, the collection, the tashlumen. What Tosfos says is that these two Gemaras do not contradict one another at all. We're simply talking about two different stages. That the Gemara that says Ein Adam Morish Knas Labana before Ha'amada Bedin means before Chayav Atalitein Lo. Before there is a Chiyuv, you can't speak about a Yerusha. This Gemara that speaks about the fact that Adam Morish Knas Labana, there hasn't yet been a Ha'amad of the Din of Tzei Tein Lo, but there was already a Ha'amad of the Din of Chayav Atali Tein Lo. Namely, that classically, when the Gemara speaks about Ha'amad of the Din, it refers to two. When the Gemara in Bava Kama says, they were talking about before Ha'amad of the Din, there was not yet Ha'amad of the Din, it means there wasn't two, but there was one. And one is already enough, that first stage is already enough to create, to turn a Knas into said that I have time to give the shiur, I just didn't take into account my own voice. This one. So when the Gemara speaks about the fact that you can have Morish Knas Labana before Ha'amad Bedin, it means before the second stage. But clearly there has to be a first stage. You need something to create the chiyuv. Because we saw without a creation of a chiyuv, ein adam orish knas lebanav. So therefore, what the Ri says is that the sugi in Bava Kamma, in Achinami, there was not yet a tzei tengo, there was not yet the world of Gviya and Tashlumen. Thank you very, very much. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu, melech haolam, shehakol yetzbarech. I think I both mentioned to you that I went to the Menachem, a colleague, a friend, and it was a very, very hot day in the middle of the summer. He was in the Haseret, and I'd get there with a bus. It was really schwitzy. And it was very nice that at the entrance of the shiva room, they had just glasses of cold water when you walked in. So I made a shakol, and I sat down, and he said, "You missed the opportunity." So I said, "Excuse me?" He said, "You could have given the greatest nechama, and you missed the opportunity." So I looked at him, and he said, "If you would have just said shakol nevivivivaro with more kavana, there's no greater nechama veivim. Shakol nevivivivaro. Everything is God. Everything comes from the Kadosh Baruch Hu. But you simply took a cup and you said, 'Shakol nevivivivaro.' Then you sit down to Menachem." So I learned from that time that the most beautiful, meaningful bracha is shakol nevivivivaro. Wow. Okay. So the world of Knas, according to the Ri, you need a creation of the Chiyuv. But the creation of the Chiyuv doesn't have to be Tzei Tengro. The creation of the Chiyuv can be the earlier stage of Chayuv Atali Tengro. Where the Ri gets stuck, sort of, is that within the Sugya, we say that there are other things that are totally on Tzei Tengro, namely, whether we have Dalet Behe or Katsi Dalet Behe, whether Tvach or Kugo be Isura or not. That's totally in Tzei Tengo. And yet the Knas, as to when it comes Mama and Tavit Chai, it's not the end of the world, but that's where Tosfos gets involved in these two sides. Okay, that's the side of the Ri. You said it? Moving over to the Ri HaLavan, he says, everyone agrees that Adam Morish Knas Lebanav. I mean, the sugya in Bava Kamma is fine. You don't need Hamada B'Din. There's no need for Hamada B'Din. You don't even need Chayav HaTali Tengo. As we pointed out, Knas itself is the equivalent of Mammon. It's created from the moment of the Maisa. You don't need a Hamada B'Din. What do we do with the sugya in Ksuvus? That's Xeras HaKosuv. That's not really dealing with Morish Knas Lebanav, even though it appears from the sugya that it is. That's a din in Korban Shvua. In Korban Shvua, we have a unique din that you need Mamon Meikaro. That all the cases in the Torah are similar to Dumya de Pikado. That there are cases where we're dealing with a chov, which comes from a loss. A knas doesn't come from a loss. A knas comes above and beyond. In other words, that's a unique halacha. That's the exception. It's a din of Korban Shvua. How he works it into the sugya is not so pashut. But that's what he says. If you look down in the Ri HaLavan, it's between the two chilufei yersos in the left hand column. It says in the last two words on the line, the Ri HaLavan Mefarish, the Bekol Knas Adam Morish Lebanav. Vahid the Perak Na Rabbi in Korban Shvua Ayri. Kamosha Muchach Mitchilas Asuya in Korban Shvua Shavadaye. And only in terms of Korban Shvua do we say that that is the exception. Okay, so we have then these three deos. Deo number one, the unnamed deo, we have a Machokis Amorayim. Deo number two, the basic principle is Eino the Morish Knas Lebanav, the Ri. And the Ri HaLavan holds basically Adam Morish Knas Lebanav. Now let's come back to our sugya. Okay? Now let's come back to our sugya. Then in our sugya, we saw that on Daf Lamed Ches Amud Beis. Okay, we're changing it. We saw that on Daf Lamed Ches Amud Beis, the Hanacha of the Gemara is Adam Morish Knas Lebanav. That the Gemara brought in this Nara as having a child, and it's clear to the Gemara
that the child is going to be a Yoresh. And then on Daf Lamed Tes Amud Aleph, the Gemara switches sources and it has the Hanacha that Ein Adam Morish Knas, that had the father had to enter the picture as a Yoresh, Paka'av. He can't enter the picture as a Yoresh. He can only enter the picture as a father, not as a Yoresh. Ein Adam Morish Knas. So according to the unknown Shita, Kafta Veferach, we have a Machlokas Amoraim. Okay, so the Suyan Daf Lamed Chesed Beis is one Shita, and the Suyan Lamed Chesed Beis is another Shita, no problem. In other words, both assumptions are valid. Both assumptions are valid. According to the Ri, also basically no problem. The bottom line of the Gemara is Eino Demorish Knas Levana. That's the bottom line. What do we do with the Gemara in Daf Lamed Chesed Beis? So that's a Havamina. That was a trial balloon. If you look in our Tosfos, on Daf Lamed Chesed Beis, so Tosfos points out, he was bothered by the question. And he says in the 1, 2, 3, 4, in the fourth line down, in towards the end of the line, the Yesh Lomar, Tosfos Yesh Beger, if you go down 1, 2, 3, 4 lines down, two words from the end of the line, the Yesh Lomar, the Hacha Nami, Havi Matzi Lak Shuye, Ha'ein Horeshes Knas Lebanav. Namely, the Gemara could have asked on this assumption, just a minute, that's not a right assumption. That's a wrong assumption. But rather than do that, the Gemara did something even better and said your whole case is totally off the wall. You can't have a Naru as a child. Or it's rather than get involved in other Morish, in other Morish, the Gemara gives a total knockout. The Gemara could have given a TKO, a technical knockout, by saying that halacha is not according to this assumption. But the Gemara gave a better kasha, that simply the whole case can't get off the ground. Okay, so according to the Ri, everything is fine. The bottom line of our sugya is the bottom line of Shas. Everyone agrees, Eino Demorish Knas Levana, and that which appeared to disagree was just a havamina, and it was knocked off with a total punch. It could have been knocked off also with such a punch, that this assumption is wrong. But our problem is, what in the world does the Ri Halavan do with our sugya? The Ri Halavan holds that Adam Morish Knas Labana. The only unique situation is Korban Shvuah. We're not talking about Korban Shvuah. We're talking about a regular Knas. So the Havamina, the Gemara Daf Lamed Chesed Beis that still spoke about this Nara having a child, that makes perfectly good sense. Had the Nara had a child, the child would have been Yorisha. But the Maskana of the Gemara, that no, the child is not in the picture. The father is in the picture. And if Yesh Beger Bekever, then Paka'av. Or if you want to, if Misa Ose Bagrus, then Paka'av. Because Ein Adam Morish Knas Labana. What does the Ri Halavan do with our Gemara? So here we have two approaches. One approach that we find in Tosfos by us, and the other approach that we basically have in Tosfos in Bava Kamma. Okay, the approach that we have in our Tosfos if you look in the third line of Tosfos in the third word Umihu Ahud Besamuch Yesh Beger Bekev, same, only one Tosfos Umihu Ahud Besamuch Yesh Litchos. The nafkamina in hi chayeves la'achirim. The yesh beger bekever paka'af, af agav, the other morish knas levana, with morish knas, the notin ba'alei chovos. Aval in ein beger bekever, ein notin ba'alei chovos klum, d'lo paka'af. V'aknas hu shelo, d'lo shelo. First approach for the Riyah Lavan is very simply to say that this line is an optical illusion. This line is not real. The Gemara doesn't say Ein Adam Orish Knas Levana. The Gemara says Paka'av. So the Riyah Lavan gives a lamdasha explanation for Paka'av. Paka'av means that the father over here, Ha'av the Emet Yorish. That other Morish Knas Labana, the daughter would be Morish Knas to her father. However, we're dealing with an Ukimta that there are Ba'alei Chovos in the picture, that this daughter, she used to gamble, okay? And she had a lot of gambling debts. So the gamblers are going to come to the court and say, just a minute, before you give the money to the father, we have a previous lien on this daughter. Namely, if the father is in court as a father, so then the money's coming directly to him, and then he would get the Yerusha. But if he's coming as a Yoresh, then there could be people who are going to step in front of him and say, just a minute, before you give the money to the Yoresh, we have a previous lien. And that's what Paka'av means. Namely, that really, Adam Morish Knas Labanov. But even though the father is, but the moment the father is in court as a Yoresh, he's on a lower plane than had he been a father. If he comes to the court as a father, so the money goes directly to him. If he comes to the court as a Yoresh, the money comes to him via the daughter. But the moment that there were previous creditors, the money is going to go to the previous creditors. So that's one way of understanding. Okay? Yeah? Sure. We thought that Paka'av meant that, at least the way Rashi went, Rashi and Paka'av meant, we're dealing with a Knas. The Knas doesn't lend itself to Yerusha. Paka'av, the father's not in the picture as Yorish, because you can't be Yorish, a Knas, before Hamad of Adin. And that goes and flies in the face of the Riyah Lavan's assumption that you can. The Riyah Lavan viewed the Gemara Baba Kama as the main Gemara. The Gemara in Ksuvas was simply an anomaly. That was the din of Korban Shvuah. You need Dumyut HaPikadon. There the Knas is excluded. However, in the world of Yerusha, the Morish Knas Labana. So what does the Riyah Lavan do with the phrase Paka'av? He learns it not like Rashi. Not that Paka'av means that the father's not in the picture. No, the father's in the picture, but he's in the picture as a second-rate Baal Dovar. Namely, had he come to court as a father, had the Na'ara remained his daughter, even if she's dead, she still remains his daughter, then he comes to court, my daughter, my Na'ara, was raped, the money is coming to me, San La'aviha Na'ara. But if he's coming into court not as a father, if he's coming into court because he is the inheritor of the daughter who's now independent, the daughter became a Bogeret, a Kever, the daughter's death brought about a level of bagrut, or the clock tick, whatever perish you want. The father's entering as a yorish, so then he can't be in the front row. He's going to be behind other individuals who have claims on the daughter's estate. That the yorishim only get the estate after the creditors take their bite. And that's paka'av. Paka'av means he's not going to get it at the first bite. He's going to have to wait until all the creditors bite. All the creditors take their parts, and only what's left is that which is going to be given to him. So that's paka'av. That's the Riha Lavan's working assumption. Okay? So this then is 90% of what we want to see in Tosfos. However, there are still two more points that I'd like to point out. One in the Ri, and one in the Riha Lavan. Again, we said that according to the Ri, if you recall, our sugya is fine. The bottom line of our sugya is the equivalent of the Ri. Ein ad amarish knas labanav. What do we do with the Gemara Chalamet Chesed on days? So the Ri said, oh, that's really a bubble. That's a figment. It really, the Gemara could have asked, this assumption is wrong. The Gemara just had a better question. However, the Ri has another explanation for the Gemara Chalamet Chesed on days. That the Gemara Chalamet Chesed on days that says the money is going to go to the son is not talking about knas. What money are we talking about? Boshes and Pagam. That Boshes and Pagam are going to go to the son. Boshes and Pagam are in the realm of Mama. Okay, as to how we're going to do Boshes and Pagam, so this brings us back to that which we learned before Pesach, that we saw machokes between the Ramban and the Ran on one hand, between the Bali HaTosfos and the Rosh on the other hand, and the Rama will snap in the middle. How, what's the relationship between Boshes and Pagam and Knas? Do they always go hand in hand? Can you separate them, etc.? So I'm just pointing out that the moment you bring in Boshes and Pagam, it turns into a very, very confused area. It's a very confused area, okay? But that's another way of dealing with the Gemara of Chamed Chesem and Beis. So one way was saying that this is just a Havamina, which is really rejected. The other is to set up a Nukimta, that we're dealing over here with Boshes Upagam, which is not a Knas, which is really Mama, and that's why it lends itself to Yerusha. Okay, that's just, with both in Tosfos in Baba Kama, and Tosfos by us, mentions Boshes Upagam. Now back to the Riha Lavan. Back to the Riha Lavan. So we saw that you can interpret Paka'av as meaning that really there is Yerusha. Or the Riha Lavan has another way of learning, and this is where we'll move into the Rambam. Look at the Gemara, look at the Tosfos in Baba Kama and Daf Ayin Beis Amud Aleph, where the Riha Lavan has to deal with our sugya. Do you have it? In other words, where you have the parentheses Sham Daf Amud Kesim Adays, about 10 lines from the end of Tosfos. Middle of the line, the Imtomar Peret Eil Naros the Kavoy Yesh Deger Bekeru Paka'av. O ein beger bekever below paka'av, va'amai paka'av kishyesh beger bekever. Nehi de ein lo mikocho, even though he's not getting it as a father, yihye lo mikoach yerusha, shiorishis vito, kevan de knas nami bar yerushahi. That once the Riha Lavan says that the rule in Shas is that other morish knas lebanav, why is he over here paka'av? So again, our Tosa says, oh, Paka'av doesn't mean that father's not a Yorish. It means he's a Yorish, but because of that, there are others who precede him, and therefore it could be he's not going to end up with anything. But that's not the Tosus, the Teres Tosus gives in Baba Kama. Let's continue Baba Kama. The Yeshlomar, the Hasam en Yochol Liskos Mikocha, Shehabas lo Hayesa Re'uya Liskos Bo Me Olam. The Hasam Ein yachol liskos mikocha, shehabas lo hayasa ruuya liskos bo mei olam. He says that other morish knas lebanav applies to all cases of knas except for ones umafata. That it's not going to apply to ones umafata. You can't be yorish the nahara because the nahara, qua nahara, never was able to be viewed as the Ru'uya Liskos Bo Mei Olam. As long as she's a Nahara, the money wasn't coming to her. So there's no way that she can have an inheritance, that she can create an inheritance of money that was never given to her in the first place. Aye, then what do we do with the Gemara over here, or the Morish Knas Lebana? So again, the Riha Lavan brings in Boshes and Pagam. But what's going on over here? What does it mean to say
that this Na'ara was never in the picture. So here, if you recall, we dealt with this issue, and I'm going to... Actually, we probably we've got to move off of the board and move into, if you turn the page over, to the page of Rambam and Rabbi. Okay, the page is set up. First, we have Rambam and Hilchos Na'ara Basula and Reb Chaim. Then we have Rambam and Hilchos Shavuos and Reb Chaim. Okay. Now, in other words, what we're going to think about is what exactly is the role of the Na'ara. The Na'ara clearly is the victim of the rape. Okay. There's no question that she is the victim. The question is in terms of payments. What role does she play as a Na'ara in terms of the world of payments? That the Bri HaLavan is saying the Na'ara was never in the picture. Is that really true, that the Na'ara as a Na'ara was never in the picture of payments, that we can speak about her being unable to pass this on the Yerusha to someone else? So, if you recall, again, nothing that we're saying over here at this point is new. We pointed out that a Na'ara receives not only, or was that the, I'm sorry, not the Na'ara receives, that when we have a situation of ones umafata, not only do we have a payment of knas, hilchos Na'ara besula per bezo ka'alef, chamishim kesef shel knas hein dmei hanach shiva bilvat. However, there are other payments as well. If we're dealing with a seducer, chayim afata litei boshes upigam, yeser ala knas hakosu betorah. Then leaving aside the knas is also boshes, there is also pigam. These are payments that come in addition to the knas. And if we're dealing with an ones, with a rapist, who knows in a tatsar, that on top of the boshes as the pigam, there's also that which was done against her will, which caused her pain, and that pain also has to be compensated. Nimtza, the second halacha, hamafata nosen shlosha dvarim, knas boshes upigam, va'ones arba, knas boshes tsar upigam. And the Rambam points out that these payments do not have the same quality. We have a rule, modeh b'knas pater. The only time that you pay a knas is when you are caught in a lie. You claim, I don't owe the money, and then Aiden come and say, no, you did the act. But if you would own up, if you would admit, know that the knas is pater. But nishalim boshes supegam bahuda aspir. But you would pay boshes upegam because that's mama. Mama, you pay irrelevant if they're edim or hodas baldin kameya edim dame. You pay mama whether you admit or whether you're caught with edim. Fine. Then the Rama moves over to the world of mode b'miktzas. That let's say she claims anasta oti. You owe me four payments. You raped me. Po merloki ela pititi. I didn't rape you. It was consensual, right? I agree that I took the initiative and seduced you, but I only owe you three payments. I don't owe you four payments. So the halacha is that we have mode b'miktzas hareza nishba shvuas haTorah al demei hatzar. That which he agrees he owes, he pays. That which there is a disagreement, so we have a shvua, midoraisa, amoda b'miksa. Come along the Ravid, and this we pointed out, Amar lo anasta otivo, Amar lo elapititi hareza nishva, da da da, Amar Abraham, aleph aleph, ein kan shvua, lefisha ein kan toveya. Who is she? She is the Na'ara. Who is she to be the Tovah? Who is she to be the claimant? Hatashlumen Einan Shalah. If she had been a Bogeret, the money would be coming to her. If the father had died, the money would be coming to her. But the father is still around. Why is she the one who is creating this claim of Moda Leviktas? Ukamamana La Vicha Biyadi. Namely, what in the world is going on over here? Why, according to the Rambam, does she all of a sudden get the status of the of the Baal Dovar, of the interested party, the money is going to the father. So, we saw, to explain the Rambam, is the next halacha. Shlosha dvarim shal mafate v'arba shal ones, harehen shal ha'av. Why? Shekol shevach ne'urim la'av. The im'ein la'av, namely the father died, or she's a bulgaret, or he married her off, in any of those situations, she's independent, then harehen shal atzma. But what does the Rambam explain? What's the relation between the father and the daughter? Why does the father get the payments when she is still under his aegis? Shevach n'uri. Namely, basically, the money is coming to her. But any money coming to her when she is a na'ara goes to the father. But she is in the picture. She is the machayev. She is the individual who brings about the payments. Just that once she is in the realm of the na'ara, the payments that are coming to her go to the father. That's the Rambam Shita. We pointed this out, that the daughter is very much in the picture. The father gets the tashlumen. He gets the payment. But the daughter is the one who creates the chiyuv. The money is coming via her. The question is, what is the Rambam thing? The Rambam we understand. So Reb Chaim, we saw this, has two understandings of the Rambam. Let's see first the second understanding, the second paragraph. Ulefiza nira dezehu pukta tarama v'harayvet gam hocha v'hilchos nara v'sula she'eveinu v'hineze shekosa v'kesef mishnah the hoel uzchia ta'avu al yada. The kesef mishnah saw in the Rambam, he says the shevach ne'urim, the father enters the picture via the daughter, then havi bas tfiya, so she can be a claimant. Kol ze im zuchiyato v'aboshes v'gam Humidina de Shevach Neurim, Shezoche bo b'schut bito, Uzchiyato hu ba'atashlumen. If we say that this is the source not only of the Knas, but also the Boshes and the Pagam, that basically it's coming to her, but the Tashlumen go to him, Alken Shapir Aminam, the Kevon de Zchiyaso hu mikocha, Alken Shapir Mikre Tovea. That we understand why she can be the claimant, because she is the original source of the money. Masha Enke. If you recall, we said, why does the father get the boshes and the pagam? Because he's the one who suffers the monetary loss. Namely, that the kesef kedushin would be coming for this girl. The moment the girl is damaged goods, the father is going to receive less. He's the one who decides who her husband is going to be. And so he is the one who is impacted by her loss. So you could say Boshet to Pagam are not coming via the daughter. Boshet and Pagam come directly to the father. He is the one who's in charge of marrying off the daughter. He is the one who's suffering by her loss in value. If you take that approach, then she's not in the picture in terms of Boshet to Pagam. And that would be the shita of the Raivid. Namely, that the Machokas Ramam and Raivid is what is the realm of the woman in Boshes and Pagam. Everyone agrees that in the realm of Knas, there, the money goes to the father via the daughter. But what about Boshes and Pagam? Do we link the Boshes and the Pagam to the Knas? I say this also comes to the father via the daughter. That's the shita of the Rambam. And then in Moda the Miktas, which is still the Boshes of Pagam, the daughter can be a Tovas. Or do we say no? The Knas goes to the father via the daughter, but the Boshes of Pagam go to the father directly. And then the daughter is not in the picture. And that was the Ravid's question on the Rambam. Namely, the Rambam and the Ravid disagree very, very basically. Does the girl play a role in the realm of Boshes of Pagam? Does it go to the father via the girl, Shevach Ne'urim, that's the Rambam, or does it go to the father directly? Yes?
As long as she gets the Knas, as long as she gets the Tsar, isn't that enough of a reason to be able to meet the claim?
No, because she is claiming that, in other words, in terms of being a motive of Mikza, she has to be the claimant on the... She's claiming that I'm supposed to get four, three payments, right? Goshes, Pigam, and Tsar. And he says, no, you only get Goshes and Pigam and not Tsar. But if the Goshes and Pigam don't relate to her, all three have to relate to her in order for it to be a Tovah. That's the assumption of Reb Chaim. So we have over here a question in terms of who is the Baal Dovar on the Goshes and Pigam, the father or the daughter? The Rambam's relation is Chiyas HaGosh HaDugam Ba Mikoach Sechut Bito, and the Rambam holds Chiyato BeGosh HaDugam Hu BeHabat Atzma, sorry, is coming directly to the father. However, the beginning of Reb Chaim was not so black and white. V'minei V'din Zeh, see the beginning of Reb Chaim. If you sow hadin the tefillah, what are the suda azin and basar dover hamachayev? In other words, namely that the Reb Chaim is pointing out, maybe the Rambam and the Ravid agree that the girl is the original cause, the machayev, and the tashlumin goes to the father. But what then is the machlokes? Maybe they all agree on everything. But what's the machlokes? Who is the todea in the world of what are the mixas? The one who brought about the original chiyuv, or the one who gets the tashlumin. Maybe it's not a machlokes as to whether the girl's in the picture or not. Everyone agrees the girl's in the picture, but maybe the fact she's only in the picture theoretically, that's not enough to give her the right to be tova. That's the beginning of here. Which everyone agrees, Rabban and Rabbi is the girl. Al kei kevon zizkuta avu mikoach habat. Oh, maybe the rabbit holds. Name of Dazin and Basar Akiyu Shal Tashlum. We don't view the theory, we view practically. Who gets the money? Chiyuv Tashlumin, Alo Yikara La'av. Ha'avu Zocha B'chiyuv Zeh Yikara. In Achinami, he gets a B'y Shevach Nurim, but he is the bottom line receiving the money. But the Apashat Zeh Yisot Tulta Sarama B'harayim. Liha Rambam sober holos kutahab ayidehaba. Okay, now we go to the mixas. A right and sober in kandin tviya below the mother of the mixas. Holo behim ba'alim b'chulakim ha'av b'haba. They play different roles. The father is the gove, he is the receiver. The daughter is the theoretical cause. And the question is, mishum dazlina rakbasa chalos kovas tashlumin. We don't care about the theoretical cause according to the Ravid. Lo ichpas lano bezed yikra machayev. We're looking purely at the collector, looking purely at the one who receives. Okay, so we have over here a question as to whether the Rambam and the Ravid disagree on the theory, or they agree on the theory but disagree on the practice. Do they disagree? Does the girl have any realm? Does any role in the realm of Boshes Upigam? That's the bottom line of the Rambam. Or no? Certainly, the girl is the prime cause. She's a theoretical cause. But the question is, who is the Toveya, one of the Miktas, the one who receives the payment, or the one who brings about the Chiyuv? Okay? So we have two deos in the Rambam, but the Rambam is clear. The Rambam holds that the girl can be Tova'at. The girl is the one who can make the claim. Why? Because she is the prime cause. She's the Mechayev. Now, up to here we saw all of this in pre-Pesach. Okay, now we're post-Pesach, so now we always recommend something new. So what's new is what I remember hearing from Rav Lichtenstein when we learned the sugya. I learned by him not Evo Naros. It would have been much easier to do the shiur this year had I learned by him Evo Naros, but I learned by him Aruba. So the Fayim Beis, okay, the Seder, I have my notes, so I looked back at my notes. And then I checked in Rabbi Reitman's book to see whether the Rav had also said this in his shiur, and he quotes what I'm about to say, the name of Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. So I heard the name of Reb Lichtenstein, because I don't recall this quoting Reb Moshe. Okay, in any case, we look at Hilchos Shavuos. Hilchos Shavuos, so we have Perek Ches, that deals with the world of... of Shavuos HaPikadon. That deals with the world that we pointed out, where someone denies a debt, and then he swears that the debt doesn't exist, and then he admits that he lied. Hatoveya eschaveru bedavar sheyesh bo knas. Sheino mishalim oso al pi asno kamoshe bi arno. v'yesh bo mamon, shemeshalem oso al pi atzmo. What if we have this situation of a hybrid, namely that there is a claim both on a knas and on mamon? V'kafar b'chol davar. And there are two claims, you owe me knas and you owe me mamon. And the fellow said, I don't owe you anything. V'nishva, hareze chaya v'shem shvua sapigodo. So we say that even though there's no shvua sapigodo on knas, but since the shvua sapigodo on mamon, and this person claims, I don't owe you either the knas or the mamon, so now if he is going to be nishva, I know he's going to be chaya, keren chomesh and osha. Ketza. What's an example? Tiva'o. If the father is Toveya and says, Anasto Pitita Biti, you raped or seduced my daughter. Vuhu Omer lo anasti velo pititi. I don't owe you anything. I don't owe you knas. I don't owe you boshes. I don't owe you pgam. I don't owe you tsar. I owe you nothing. Never happened. Never happened. I was in a different fraternity. I wasn't in that fraternity. I was in a different fraternity. Venishba, and he swears that it was not him. Chaya bishvuas hapikado. Afa pi she'eno meshalim knas al pi atzmo, ilu hoda, hayin meshalim boshes u'begam al pi atzmo. In achinami, you're not chaya just because of the knas, but there's mamon here as well. Okay, but who is the toveya? Says the Rambam, the father. But the Rambam, back in Hilchos Nara Basula, said in the world of Anastu Pitita Viti, who should be the Toveya? The daughter. Namely, this is the Rambam talking. The Rambam says that when you have one party who is the Mechayev, and another party who receives a Tashlumen, who is the one who should claim in court? Says the Rambam, the daughter. That was the Rambam's disagreement with the Ravid. The Ravid would agree with this halacha. The father should be Toveya, but the Rambam said that the daughter should be Toveya. So why is everyone bringing over here the father as a Toveya if the daughter should be the Toveya? That's the question within the Rambam. Namely, the Rambam in Hilchos Nara Basula says that the daughter is the source of the Knas, the Boshes, and the Pagam. It goes to the father via the daughter. And so if we'll ask who should claim in court, the daughter is considered to be the claimant. The Rambam says the father is the claimant. The Rambam says the daughter is the claimant. Here we have the exact same case. Not a case of motive of mixas, but a case of shuas hapikado. But l'chorot on the same monetary basis. And here the Rambam says that the father is the one who is claiming. The Rambam, of course, says nothing, because he's thrilled. The Rambam appears agrees with him. But how can the Rambam play both sides of the game? So the answer is found in looking in the perek that precedes perek ches, and in looking in the perek that succeeds perek ches. That the perek that succeeds perek ches, of course, is perek tes. Perek tes deals with shvuas ha'edus. Shvuas ha'edus is a case where I come to someone and claim, you know testimony that could help me, and I want you to come to court and testify for me. You saw that fellow steal my car. You saw the car accident. You saw I was stopped at a red light, and he rammed into me from the back. I need you to come to court, because he claims that I caused the accident. He claims I went backwards, and instead of going forwards. And you saw it. And the fellow says, I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't see anything. And he swears that he didn't see it. Then, and that fellow is afsaris, right? In other words, he's over in Avera of Shua Sa'idus. He has to come to court to testify. And then we have the world of Shvuas HaPikado. So the Rambam uses in these two, in Perek Zayin, the Perek that precedes Perek Ches, he talks about Shvuas HaPikado, and the Rambam uses different language. Look in Perek Tes Halacha Bo. Ein ha'edim chayavim b'shvuas ha'edus. The edim are only going to be over in Aveira if they swore that they cannot help this person monetarily. Achi yichperu, until they claim, we don't know what you're talking about. V'yishvu'u, achar tviyus ba'al din atzmo, o shlucho. It's only if their response is to a claim of the ba'al din himself, or the shliach of the ba'al din. Okay? Look in Perek Zayin, halacha vav. Echad hanishba lebal hamamon atzmo, o shlucho haba b'harsha'ato sheshlucho shalom k'namosa. Here the Rambam is dealing with a similar statement in terms of shvuas hapikadam, but his terminology is different on two points. In Perek Tesach Avav, he spoke about Tviyus Baal Did. Here he speaks about Tviyus Baal Hamam. In Perek Tesach Avav, he spoke about O Shlucho. And here he speaks about Shlucho Haba Beharsha'ato. That we have a Shliach who was appointed by my telling him, would you mind going to court and being my Shliach, me, my messenger, to be a claimant? Shlucho Shadon Kamosa. Another form of shlichus is where I write to someone a harsha'ah, I want you to serve in my place, and the money that will be received, you will receive instead of me. That's what we call the harsha'ah, that I give this person power of attorney, that he represents me so totally that he is going not only to represent me as an individual, he's also going to be the recipient of the payment. So in Shvuas HaPikadon, we speak about the claimant as being Baal HaMamon, and the Shliach has to be a Shliach Baharsha. In Shvuas HaEdus, we speak about the Baal Din and his Shliach without any need for a Harsha. So here, either Buchenstein or Moshe Soloveitchik, or both, wanted to distinguish between two realms. We have a realm of Shvuah in general, which would be Shvuas. We have a realm of Shvuah in general, which would be Shvuas or Eidos, Modeh B'Miktzas, all cases that we have Shvuah on a Doraisa plane, and we have a different realm called Shvuas HaPikadon. What's the difference between the two? In Shvuas or Eidos, Modeh B'Miktzas, we need a Toveya. We have to have a claimant. The Modeh B'Miktzas has to respond to a claim. The Shvuas HaEdus has to respond to a claim. You know testimony that would be able to help me monetarily. You owe me kach money. We need a toveya. In Shvuas HaPikadon, there is no need to respond to a tviya. Look in HaPerek Zayin Halacha Hei. Echad hanishba achar shetuvao bal hamamon, o nishba me'atzmo, af al pi shelo tuvao. Keitzad kodam vo'amar, lama ta hovech achara? Why are you chasing after me? Klum yeshli, yeshlcha biyadi mamon? Shvu ainli biyadi mamon. You think I owe you money? I swear I don't owe you anything. That also works. What you need is a kfira lifnei ba'al hamamon. There's no need for a claim. What you need is a denial, a kfira, in the presence of the Baal HaMamon. The Toveya and the Baal HaMamon can sometimes be two totally separate individuals. In the realm of Ones Umafata, who, according to the Rambam, is the Toveya? The daughter that we saw in Hilchos Nara Besula. However, that same Rambam says in the Rud Shvuas HaPikadon, who is the Baal HaMamon? The father. Namely, that in the word, in the realm of Shvuah, Modeh B'Miktzas, Shvuas HaEdus, here there's a response to a Toveya. A Toveya, or the Shliach of a Toveya. Masha'enkin, in the realm of Shvuas HaPikadon, over here we need a Baal HaMamon. Here we're concerned as who is getting the money, who is getting the payment. And here, if we're going to have a shliach, it has to be a baba harshala. It has to be a shliach who's going to be end up getting the money. Not just someone who has a right to be toveya, but someone who is going to get the money. So, generally, in most situations, the toveya and the baal hamamon are one and the same. Where do we have the distinction? By the na'ara habesula. By the na'ara habesula, the Rambam said that since the money is shevach ne'urim, the Mechayev is the daughter, she is the Toveya. That's fine. But in the realm of Shvuas HaPikadon, we're not concerned with the Toveya. We're concerned with the Baal Hamam, the one who is coming, the Harsha'ah. Okay, all of this is within the Rambam. Why did I bring all of this in?
because of the Ri Halavan. The Ri Halavan, the Ri Halavan, maybe it's bad. I know the Ri Halavan is over there, but what the Ri Halavan pointed out, we could read it within, turn over the page, in Tosos, he said that even though general Adam Morish Knas Labanov, but it doesn't apply in the realm of Ones Umafata. The Hasam and Yachal Lizkos Mikocha, Shahabas Lohayasa Ruya Lizkos Bo Me Ola. That the Ri Halavan is telling us that in terms of being Morish, what level of power do you have to have in order to be Morish? Is it enough to be the Toveya, or do you have to be the Baal Hamama? In terms of creating a Shvuas Moreh B'Miktzas, it's enough to be a Toveya. In terms of creating Shvuas HaPikadon, you have to be a Baal Hamama. In terms of being a Morish, to hand over an inheritance, the Ri claims, and the Ri Halavan claims, I'm sorry, that the reason that the daughter can't create an estate of out of the Knas is because Lohaya ba tzchut me'olam. What is he referring to? That she was never in the picture? According to the Rambam, she's very, very much in the picture. She's a mechayev. What does he mean, ein ba tzchut me'olam? That she cannot be viewed as what? As the Baal Hamamon. She was never the Baal Hamamon. When she was alive, she never would have received the payment. If you're not a Baal Hamamon, namely, it has not only relevance to Shvuas HaPikadon, it also has relevance to Yerusha. That we have a principle according to the Ri Halavan that Adam Morish Knas Levanah. A person has the right to create a Yerusha out of Knas. But which person has the right to create the Yerusha out of Knas? Only the person who is going to collect the Knas. Only the Baal Hamamon. The father can create a Yerusha out of the Knas. But the daughter can't, because even though the daughter is in the picture as the Mechayev, even though she can be a Tovat, as the Rambam points out, but the bottom line is she's not a Baalat HaMamon. She's not in the picture in terms of Shvuas HaPikadon. The Kichesh Ba'amisa. There you have to be in the realm of denying a monetary claim. We can view Knas, according to Ri Halavan, as a monetary claim, but only to the Baal HaMamon, only to the one who's actually going to collect it. Okay, so the Ri Halavan says that therefore the son of the daughter cannot collect, or Paka'av, the father cannot collect as a Yorish. The father can't collect as a Yorish because the bottom line is that we're dealing over here with the Na'ara, and the Na'ara, even though she is the source of the Chiyuv, but she's never going to be able in her lifetime as a Na'ara to collect. So therefore, she doesn't have the power to empower someone else to be her Yoresh on that which she was not the Baalat HaMamon. Okay? That's what we have over here, humble opinion, in the sugya of Adam Morish Knas Labanav. Okay, so if we can erase everything and just summarize. Okay, if we look at Ch'as, if we ask the question, Ha'im Adam Morish Nas Levanav, so we have a sugi in Baba Kama, yeah, and a sugi in Ksuvos, Dachman Beis, nope. So we have three approaches. One is that we have Matokis Amaroi. That's the first approach of Tosis Baba Kama. Two, we have the Ri, that the answer is no.
And the sugya Baba Kama is talking about Chayav Atalim Tefa. That there was already a minimal Ha'amad al-Din that would create a... that would turn the Knas into Mamad. And we have the Riha Lavan, who says yes, and the Sugya Inksuvas is a Gzeres HaKosuv of Shvuas HaPikadam. But in terms of Yerusha, Adam Morish Knas Labana. Okay. Now we have our Sugya. We have our Sugya, where we appear to have a dichotomy. And Lamed Chesem and Beis, the Gemara seems to assume, yet, Adam Morish Knas Labana. And Lamed Chesem and Aleph, the Gemara says, no. So according to one, this is Kafta Beferach. Okay, we have Machokas Amorayim. We have the Amorayim on one side of Amit Chesem and Beis, on the other side of Amit Chesem and Aleph. According to the Ri, so Amit Chesem and Aleph is Kafta Beferach. Amit Chesem and Beis, he says one of two things, either that it's a figment of our imagination. The Gemara could have knocked it off by saying, hey, that your assumption is wrong. They don't know Rish Knas Laban. The Gemara could have said that, but that's a better question. Or, we'll set up Amit Chesem and Beis as dealing with Boshes and Pagam. Okay? Either that this is simply a Hava Minak, which is rejected, or that it's dealing with Boshes Upagam, which are really Mamam. And that's why we have a Yerusha. According to the Riha Lavan, we have a much more difficult issue. Lamed Chesem and Aleph, Lamed Chesem and Beis is fine. But what do we do with the bottom line of Lamed Tes Amid Aleph? So here we have two ways of understanding. One is that Lamed Tes Amid Aleph is really Adam Morish. And Paka means that he comes Acharei HaBalchov. Means that if the father in Achinami, the father is Yorish, the daughter, but there are creditors that stand in front of him in line. And that's what we call Paka. He has no first rights to the money. He's only coming to the money after the creditors. That's what Paka means. The second is really, the Gemara says, Eino Morish. Why? Because we're dealing with the Na'ara. And this Na'ara was never in the picture. How can we say she's never in the picture? We saw the Rambam and the Raivin and the Tata. So he pointed out, she's in the picture as a Tovat. She's in the picture in terms of a claimant, but she's never in the picture as a Baal Hamama. And so to create Yerusha, you can only create Yerusha if you're a Baal Hamama. You can only create Yerusha if you are the one who's going to get the money, then you have an estate. But if you simply created a Chiyuv, but you're still in the Geder of Shevach Ne'urim, that money is going to go to the father, you can't be Morish that which is going to the father. You can only be Morish that which is coming to you. And that's the Na'ara is over here, our Achilles heel. She is not enough of an owner. She is not enough of a baladavar to be able to create a Yerusha. But if we say that, so how do we ever think that the money can go to her son? So there, again, we have the possibility of setting up that Gemara as Boshes Upagam. Right? That the Gemara Lamed Chesem and Beis is Boshes Upagam. That's the overview, I think, of the Sugya. And again, this question is basically the question of the Ofi nature of Knas. Is the Knas come in Bishas Maisa, and that the Bezdin only cements the Chiyuv, or the Knas is created by the Ha'amad of Adin, and therefore there's nothing to be Morish beforehand, it's simply on the level of theory. So that's a machlokes between the Ri and the Ri Halavan, and which approach we're going to take. Okay. I didn't go until 12:30. Okay. What I'd like you to see in Yetz Hashem for Wednesday is the sugya on the Tessa Med Aleph. Part of the sugya we read through the Rashi, but we didn't see in the Tosfos, etc. And part of the sugya we haven't yet seen. The last few lines of the Gemara. So in terms of the first sugya, see this Tosfos, very, very similar Tosfos. And also, if you can, look at the Chachmei Sfarad on our sugya. I just wrote the Ramban in the Ritva. You could also look in the Ra'ah, in the Rad, in the Rashba. It's all one school. And we saw today this shita of Rabbanan Shomer Pisayim Hashem. So the question is, when do we apply this principle of Shomer Pisayim Hashem? So I'm sending you to Achronim as opposed to Rishonim, because there is a bit more clarity in the Achronim than there is in the Rishonim. So there's a Rebbe Chanan Wasserman Alatar in the Kovet Shiurim in Od Kuf Lamed Vav. He asks this question, and Rav Moshe deals with this in two Inyanim. He deals with it in terms of birth control and in terms of smoking. So the first tshuva over here is in terms of birth control, and the second two tshuvas deal in terms of smoking. Whether one can say that since at one time, people did not realize that smoking was dangerous, and a lot of people smoked, whether that moves it into the realm of Shomer Pesayim Hashem, that things that a lot of people do, that a Kodesh Baruch Hu will give a unique degree of hashgacha, yes or no. And then we'll see over here the next sugya of the Gemara. It's a relatively short sugya, self-contained. And we have over here two Tosfos. So we'll see the Rashi, Rashi and the Tosfos. Okay, so I'd like to get up to the Mishnah next time. Again, Shir on Wednesday in Yitz Hashem at 9:15. Okay? That's the schedule. And okay, just in terms, again, those who came a bit late, so Wednesday is a regular day of learning, but it would be recommended / understood if you were to go to Harvard, so to participate in that manner in terms of Hakara Satov, by saying the Tefillah on the Kfarim. But if you feel that you know that you want to sit here and learn and to say a tefillah here, and it's certainly fine as well. Wednesday night we'll have a Suda Todaya as a group in the auditorium, and pretty much everyone in the Kovel has already spoken except for Eliyahu, so I want to give him the opportunity also of expressing his Hakara Satov at the Suda. Everyone, meaning all this, in other words, all the Rebbeim, have already spoken over the last few years. Thursday during the day, there are no official shiurim, and davening, of course, will be a davening, which would end with a hava without a bracha at the end of davening. And the Mirtz Hashem, in chronological order, so in 2 weeks there is Lag BaOmer, so everyone should feel free to spend Lag BaOmer the way he feels to be most meaningful. Lag BaOmer is a Thursday, there'll be no afternoon shiur on that Thursday.